This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Dallas Cowboys training camp. And right now, brought to you by Ford and the North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring to you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, fellas. Are you guys cold? Everything's closed in here.
Oh, no. We were talking to Bochy, and it was a little quiet, and somebody was talking behind us, so I just pulled this shut so I could hear him.
They pulled the walls.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we had to pull the walls.
I mean, I'm fine if they're open or not. I'm more excited about this tent than Mike McCarthy is about in-game interviews.
What was that supposed to mean?
Okay,
that
sure.
That was great. What
Surely
a great
you heard
answer.
Yesterday when he was like, I mean, look, I'm not surprised by it when they were like, hey, how do you feel about that? And I like that he was very matter of fact in terms of this makes sense in terms of access without being like, I mean,
I just can't wait.
Yeah, obviously he doesn't want to do them. Like, I'm assuming most coaches don't want to do that.
I mean, he would prefer not to do this.
I could see that, yeah.
He just wants to coach
football. Definitely doesn't want to do
the
in-game interviews.
He just wants to coach some football, man.
No, I get
so it. I see it could either be the head coach or the coordinator. But the coordinator would have to be on the sideline.
True. I really liked his answer, and I really liked how he was like, oh, yeah.
Schottenheimer's not on the sideline, is he? He's up in the booth, right?
I believe so. Now, Zim probably on the sideline. On the sideline.
Okay, all right. I know there were some times where I've seen him in the booth, like in Cincinnati, I believe. But I'm very interested to see that because I was looking for Zim yesterday during practice. Maybe I just didn't see him, and then I was like, maybe he's up in the thing up there trying get started
no,
there.
No, but he's out there.
But I was like, oh man, they're calling. It was fun. Yesterday was a fun practice.
Yes, Mickey. It was good. Well, it was football.
Yeah.
At least three quarters football.
Yeah.
They're not tackling, but
right.
At least you get an idea of what's going on, who's blocking. It gives the offensive lineman a chance, right? Because when you don't have pads on, what can you do? I thought it was a pretty good first day for Tyler Guyton.
Oh, yeah.
You know, started off on the second team when they were in team, and then before it was over, he's on the first team.
So, consistently, yeah.
We brought that up. I get it. You have to be prepared for all contingencies. Every time Guyton wasn't with the ones, I was like, come on. Like, you know what I want to see? Like, you know what I want to see? Come on.
Give me the goods.
Yeah, I understand they have a long time to practice and figure things out. But every time they would swap it out, I was like, no, this is not what
Well, that's because you want to see. You want to judge,
yes,
right?
Yes,
I don't want
exactly.
to see him judged against Darrell Johnson or nothing against the guy. But, when he... And I thought that it was good to make sure you don't, like, destroy his confidence right away. So when they were in the one-on-one pass rush drills, they had him on the other side. Micah Parsons was on the where I was to the right, and so he was going up against Chuma, which bad matchup.
Sure.
Well, and then I saw Guyton in team with Micah a few times.
They put him there.
And he
but
did.
They didn't make him go up against Micah right away.
There were about three occasions that they got together.
Yeah.
Maybe four, and I think Guyton won all of them.
He rode him to the outside.
But the one thing I added, though, was that Micah didn't do any moves.
Right.
He just basically straight rushed and then got kind of pushed out. But he didn't do anything. Like, he didn't slap. He just kind of – so I thought that was – but I thought it was really nice to see Guyton get his footwork under him and push him the way he was supposed to.
You know, the other thing I noticed with him, if – and my first concern for him when I saw some of his Oklahoma stuff was his footwork.
Like, yes.
Is his footwork fast enough?
It
well,
way
I
better.
Thought it was better.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I noticed, when it wasn't, his wingspan is so wide that he can take up space and run the guy to the outside.
Yeah, and he's strong,
so
too.
That was a good sign. I thought the other good sign is I saw Mozzie engaged. I saw him take up a double team on one play, hold his ground, and slide off and could have made the tackle if they were tackling, but he got in the way of the running back. That's what they need him to do. He doesn't need to be a pass rusher. He doesn't need to be a guy penetrating. Just hold your ground. Let the linebackers do their job.
Yeah. Did you think he was better in one-on-ones or the team
in the
drills?
Team.
Okay.
He's not going to be a great one-on-one guy because he's not going to be a I don't need him to rush the quarterback, right? I need him to make sure that somebody doesn't come out and run for 270 yards.
We talked about this earlier in the show, and we definitely talked about it yesterday during practice. Thought this was the best practice so far for Trey Lance.
Yes. Yeah, we just got done talking about him on our podcast, too. It was a good practice. He was decisive. He was reading things. And we have to remember, he just hasn't played much football.
Yeah.
He didn't play any last year.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever he got in, you know, running the practice squad or the scout team, I mean. But other than that, I mean, he hasn't played. And quarterback, you got to be out there and see it. And I don't know if, you know, you guys play pickup or whatever, and you go out and try to play quarterback, and it's like, oh, this looks like a busy intersection here.
Yes.
And you can't see everything fast enough, right?
Yeah.
So, not only did I not have an arm to play quarterback, I was too short.
Oh, well, I mean, there was no offensive line in the pickup stuff. So.
Does Bryce Young give you hope?
Yeah.
And you're like, hold on.
Mickey's like, you know what? It's a revival time.
Well, there was slow in there also, so it was a bad combination.
One of the things you kind of talked about, too, let the linebackers do their work. I thought it was really fun to watch that trio of Kendricks and Clark and Micah when they were out on the field together, because there was a lot of chase. That's a lot of speed and size on that group.
No, absolutely. And I think you got a feel for how much Mike Zimmer would like Micah Parsons to play linebacker.
Yes.
And even in a couple of times in the changeup defenses, and when he wasn't rushing, he was moving around on the nickel. And yes, that's what he needs to do. That's what he did at Penn State, right? Don't put him on the line of scrimmage and let him get neutralized by a double team or running right at him. And he doesn't have the prototype length to play defensive end every snap. Doesn't have exceptionally large arms, or he's not one of these kind of tall guys. And so he's got to use his speed there to win. But if they get physical with him, he gets neutralized. So, but at linebacker, it's harder to do that. You can't double team the linebacker,
especially when he has a shield in front of him and a defensive end.
Yes. Mozzie, do your job.
Yes.
That's why he's a big proponent of Mozzie. Keep these dudes off of me.
Now, the other day, ESPN put out this list of what they called underrated prospects, and kind of the qualifiers to fit that were: came into the NFL between 2021 and 2023, third round or later, and have 500 or fewer snaps. So there's a lot of qualifiers on there, but the two people that popped up on the list, Brock Hoffman and Overshown, were both top 20 across the NFL. And I'm curious what you think about those two as prospects, because it feels like last year we were all hyped over the moon about Overshown, and then obviously, unfortunately, he got hurt.
And for good reason.
Yeah.
I thought he showed up really early. I thought they had a good idea of how they wanted to use him, especially on the nickel as one of the linebackers who can drop into coverage, had the speed to do that. I mean, he has no snaps. Right?
Yes, exactly.
And you see him out there, and he's pretty rangy. I think they have high hopes for him again on the changeup defenses. And Brock Hoffman, I always thought that, even though they had this idea with the BB draft and everything, that Hoffman wasn't going to just roll over and give the position up. And so far, I think he's played well. I thought he played well in the few times he got an opportunity last year. So,
and they like him. Like him.
And if nothing else, you do need a backup center, one of those two guys.
Yeah.
And if you noticed at times, they had BB working as a guard, too, because if you end up being the backup, then you got to be able to do two things, right? They're doing that with Awesome Richards also, guard and tackle, because when they were playing Guyton on the first team, Richards was coming in second team left tackle.
Okay.
And that's what he was at North Carolina, I believe it was. So, those guys have to be versatile. But I like the observation on Brock Hoffman, because I think he's good. And you just can't have a first-round pick at every place on the offensive line. At some place, you got to save money and have some young guy kind of develop. So I thought so far so good with him at center.
How much do you guys like, and Corey, I want to get you in on this as well, when a Cowboys player kind of knows or goes out of their way to learn their Cowboys history? Because I was listening to Marshawn Nyland. He was doing an interview after practice was over, and they talked about getting number 94, and he's like, "Oh, man, yeah, I've been going back and reading and watching, and that is a high bar to stand up to in terms of DeMarcus Ware." And I don't know.
Charles Haley.
I liked that he was, like, doing the research. I know that doesn't necessarily mean, you're going to be better as a player, but what do y'all think about people who are like, "I'm going to go back and learn about these other greats"?
Well, I heard one guy couldn't – former quarterbacks, and he had Tony Romo.
Oh,
that was it.
Well, that was all he. Well, hey, look, it happens sometimes. But sometimes they grow up.
We forget they're really young.
Yes,
and a lot of
Charles
times,
Haley, you might
maybe
say,
they grew up with another team as their team.
And what you find out if you're ever around like high school kids, they're just in their own world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they ain't looking at the Cowboys or maybe college.
Yeah,
but they're in their own world. But yeah, this one was. I was on, okay, and then they tried to give him some clues, and he still couldn't get it.
Oh, no.
Palomalu. But no, you're right. You want guys to kind of know the history of the team.
And the game, just a little
game.
Bit.
Yeah.
And plus, it just feels like, I realize the game has changed a whole lot, even from Ware, but especially from Haley, but it feels like it's not the worst thing in the world is to be like, "I'm going to go watch some players who are exceedingly successful. I don't care how much the game's changed. There's probably still something you could take away from
that."
What
did they do that made them successful, and get those little nuggets from them to hear about those things. They don't have to, because, Kevin, I can definitely have a dude that just wakes up, eats some meat, goes out there and hits somebody, and then goes back home, eats more meat, and goes to bed. I'm perfectly okay with that.
That guy's on Harbaugh's team, I'm guessing.
I'm trying to remember who it was, and it might have been Nealon. He knew some of the guys that had played defensive end, and then somebody told him, "Well, your coach played. He was pretty good." And he was talking about Greg Ellis, right? And he goes, "Oh, I'm going to have to look that up."
He mentioned that too. Yeah.
Right? Ellis. I'm going to have to look that up. And it's like, all right. And then who was the other – when Greg showed up, it was C.J. Goodwin. He said, one guy came up to me and said, I kind of remember you, just like that. And I was trying to think who was old enough to have remembered. And so I went up to CJ. I said, "Was that you?" And he goes, Yeah, but I had to go figure it out because I just kind of remember him playing in the league, right?
I know this guy from somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
I've heard that name before.
But I'm guessing. I don't know that Greg played past maybe 2007, 2008.
Right.
He started in 98. So, but he had a long career. But, yeah, they were surprised. Oh, this guy was pretty good.
Appreciate the insight as always. And now since we started padded practice, I'm sure we'll get another one today and tomorrow and the next day.
Every
and the day,
day
after that. It's
on.
Just nothing but padded
all
practices.
All padded practices.
I'm thinking there's a mock game in there somewhere.
There's a mock game on Thursday, I do believe. So
come on, we can't work them so hard.
Yeah, it's too much.
What are you doing?
It's too much. Thank you very much, sir. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
See ya.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com. Coming up next, it's time for our new Olympic segment, which will continue to change names, those meddling kids. Next, right here on The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There you go, Jordan Chimes.
Couldn't have done that routine any better.
100%, Sam. Every time she's gotten on a piece of equipment over the last 3 months, she has gotten better. We throw around gamer all the time. She's a gamer.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for some Olympic talk. Those meddling kids is the name of our new segment. But first, Corey, do you have Rangers news at the Corey News Desk?
Would you like me to read the entire lineup, Kevin, or just...
Yeah, give me the whole lineup.
All right, Josh Smith is leading off again. Corey Seager will be DHing, it looks like, in the two-hole, and then Simeon in the three-hole at second base. Wyatt Langford still hitting four. Garcia Lowe, Josh Jung, Carson Kelly is going to be catching today, okay. And then Jankowski will be out there in center field. So Yeah, thank you very much, Lucy. I always appreciate that. With Andrew Heaney on the mound, you can hear that right here on 105.3 The Fan. So Kelly's opportunity today, man, he goes out there and puts on a show with the bat. It could be very interesting to see how we turn things around here for the rest of the year.
Fantastic information right there. Now we move into Olympic talk, and y'all told me about it like while it was happening yesterday, because I know a lot of people watch things in prime time, tape delayed, but a lot of these events are going down like while our show is happening. I went back and watched the ending of the women's rugby seven, and it was freaking incredible. So they're down, I believe it was 12-7 they're down. Let's go to cut number four right here and essentially view this, Corey, as like the Tony Dorsett breakaway run.
Alona Ma. Ramsey. Cedric. Spiff. Cedric's away. Cedric up over the 50, the 40. She's going to take it all the way. Cedric for the USA.
Beside myself right now.
You can hear her in the background too, be like, oh my god, they're gonna score. And but like, you probably have to like, I gotta contain it for just one second.
Oh, like Mike whenever they get the walk off and everything.
But Corey, that only tied the score 12-12. You still needed the conversion kick. Let's go to cut number five.
This is gonna be the easier kick right down the middle.
There it is.
Oh,
there it is. Cedric with the conversion. And Team USA make history in Paris.
I do love listening to the announcers that are from the sport or whatever and very invested this way. Because yesterday during men's volleyball, they're in match five, Kevin. You know, and it's first one to three in that instance, and they're in match five, and something happens, and he's like, "Don't worry about it, move on to the next one." And you're just like, "Okay," like they are rooting for it, they're feeling it, like they're part of the team.
Now we played a highlight from the gymnastics world. By the way, first ever rugby seven medal for the women for the United States.
Congratulations to us.
That's awesome. By the way, do you know what happened after that?
No. Okay.
Michelle Kang, who is the owner of the NWSL's Washington Spirit, she donated $4 million to USA Rugby.
Nice.
Like, you just got your first medal. Here's a big giant chunk of cash
to go
grow the sport. Yes,
yeah.
to go get rugby.
Yeah,
yes.
Go get rugby.
Correct. That is the good news.
Do you think rugby will ever take over here in the U.S.?
Look, it's the same thing with lacrosse. When it happens, I'll support it. But when we worked at the paper, we would get a call from a parent or a PR release every single week. You know that rugby or lacrosse are the fastest growing sports in the United States. And I was like, I hear you. I do. And like, there's some great people who play those sports. But if it takes over, fantastic. I'm going to need to learn up on some of the rules.
It's kind of like the WNBA's push to become the MNBA. You know?
Okay. That's, I don't know if it's going to go down like that, but I like it. All right. Do you want historic feats or some sad news?
Show me the feats, Kevin.
Okay. Good Lord. Oh, Corey's been spending that time on other websites.
No.
Feats,
you had set it up. I thought that was the joke you wanted,
all right,
Kevin.
What is more impressive? That as of yesterday, the United States won their 3,000th medal in all-time Olympic competition.
Where does it rank them? Do other countries have 3,000?
I kind of feel like that's got to be number one.
Okay.
But to be fair, not sure.
We got our 3,000th medal yesterday.
Yes.
The same day to celebrate 7 years ago, Adrian Beltre hit his 3,000th hit.
Oh, dude.
I'm just saying, it lines up with all the Texas athletes in the Olympics.
Here's
right
your
now.
Triple-pronged question, then. Most impressive, Adrian Beltre, 3,000 hits.
Nah.
Oh, man. United States winning 3,000 medals in the Olympics. Or the medal ceremony for the table tennis mixed doubles. And I know you might think, hold on just a damn second.
Yes.
That feels like a big drop-off. What if I told you
30 for 30?
This could be a spoiler alert if you're getting in on mixed doubles table tennis today. What if I told you the three medal winners were, or teams were, from China, South Korea, and North Korea, and they all posed for a selfie together.
Yeah. So is that politically a weird thing?
I mean, if I had to go back to North Korea, I do not know if I would want to be in that picture.
Gotcha.
But, I mean, from a human standpoint, of course you would want to be in it.
Kind of pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome. And, man, watching them play, I'm not lying about this, the conviction to hit that ball, that little tiny ball, as hard as you can, and knowing that it's coming back to you probably just as hard is always wild to me. It's so much fun to watch.
Yeah, I just...
I'm still going with the 3,000 medals for our country, Kevin. That's impressive.
On your face!
Adrian knows. He never actually took that swing at you, so I'm still holding that against him.
That's why he's number one, because the day he goes, have you got hit in the nuts yet? And I said, no. And I go, it's complicated. And he goes, no, it's not. We can get it done right now. And then went and grabbed an actual bat, yeah. And I was like, oh, no.
I was so excited for that
day. That was the day that baby Noah almost faded out of those pictures, Back to the Future style. You know, like you could just see him. He was Michael J. Fox fading away. All right. Let's go. This show's so dumb. Let's go from that to... All right, you want good news or bad news?
I mean, good.
All right.
Hopefully we don't get to the bad.
Simone Biles. Oh, we will. Simone Biles and the U.S. women's gymnastics team won gold yesterday and revealed the name of their team. It was F Around and Find Out.
Dude.
To which she said all the good names were taken. I mean, that's a pretty good name. And they kick some ass. There's a third team gold medal in the last four Olympics. Now you'll move into the individual event finals, of which Simone Biles will be a huge presence in that as well. So let's go USA.
And they always have that meme to go back to of the guy on the drawing board. He's like, look, the more you F around, the more you're going to find out.
Agreed.
So that's good. Look, man, like I said, they looked like they were prepared for business. Like they went there with a purpose, and I appreciated that from them.
Now, you wanted to avoid it, but it was impossible. We're not good at 3-on-3 basketball. In the men, for the men, Team USA, their Olympic debut was against Serbia. They lost 22-14. So Jimmer Fredette and the three other people who nobody had ever heard of, I can't remember their names offhand, they didn't get the job done. Remember, the women for the United States, they lost their 3-on-3 opener as well. So it's off to a tough start, Corey.
It feels like Jaylen Brown definitely could have been on that team.
Yes!
And led us to gold.
Or Caitlin Clark on the other one. Why couldn't we be like, you can be on this team?
That being said, with that, is that kind of a... If you're a Jaylen Brown type guy, are you like, no, I'm not playing on the 3-on-3 team. They didn't even ask me to be on the 5-man team. You know, like, or the full MNBA roster.
I would stop that. I would want an Olympic medal so much that I'd be like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, and dude, how awesome would it be? You're like Jaylen Brown. You're like, yeah, I can carry anybody to a championship. Jason Tatum, these two chumps I just played with. It doesn't matter who it is.
It's kind of hurt his feelings a little bit that they were like, we're going to take Tatum and White, but not you.
And I do need to dive in a little more on 3-on-3 strategy, because I know the court's a little different, and I feel like it's more of a shooter's game. But, man, if you can just fill it up at the basket, Jaylen Brown's filling it up at the rim all day long. So, and also, Kevin, I do want to point out, we did find out the field goal post, maybe about 9 feet high. I touched that pretty easily the other day. So, Kevin, whenever Mike starts saying I can't dunk on a 9-foot goal.
You can dunk now.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't forget about that.
The U.S. men's soccer team reached the quarterfinals with a 3-0 victory yesterday. And then today, the U.S. men's basketball team will play South Sudan. Remember when they played in the exhibition or the lead-up to this? They were 45-point favorites, and they needed a LeBron bucket in the last 20 seconds to win by 1 point. That line has now dropped from 45 to 29.5. If I'm South Sudan, though, I'm still like, dang, man, that's a lot of freaking points.
Mm-hmm.
We lost by 1 point. They're like,
we don't think you can do it again.
29.5. I believe that game will get going at 2 p.m. Central time. So that was another Olympic note for you right there. Are you going to be in on watching these games? We're significantly better at 5-on-5 basketball than 3-on-3 basketball in the Olympics.
Yes, my oldest son requested that we FaceTime and watch it together. So that is
the whole time?
No, the men's team.
Oh, okay.
The M Olympic team.
Stop that.
So that's
Corey,
what he
is. Be quiet.
Thanks, Mike.
It really feels like he's still here.
It does. So that is the goal. Is he wants to watch that? He's very excited. He's never been excited about basketball. Mavs are in the freaking championship run. And he's like, I got stuff to do, Dad. And I was like, what? So this is, I guess, because it's the best players all meeting. I think that's where he's really excited about.
Can I tell you a quick story again? This is a possible spoiler alert about Adriana Ruano from Guatemala. The gymnast turned shooter won Guatemala's first Olympic gold medal on Wednesday. Ruano was training for the 2011 World Championships in gymnastics, a qualifier for the London Olympics. Felt pain in her back, had to switch it up, took up shooting. That's just not necessarily the two sports I'd be like, hey, if gymnastics doesn't work out, you should go shoot.
Yeah, well, you know what, Kevin?
But here we are.
There are multi-talented people out there.
There right? are.
You're not everybody's just good at one thing.
That's a great point.
So let them do those things.
You are good at many, many things.
Like what?
Like just what you said.
Thanks, man.
Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. The NFL is terrible in court cases. Plus, are you ready for a running back resurgence?
No.
Next on the Fan.
And Tanner Scott out to the right. Snap field. Stares down the left side. Pass is caught by Moore. Down the sidelines. And nothing but green grass. He is gone, baby. Touchdown, DJ Moore on 3rd and 2. And he accentuates what's been a spectacular day.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. We're in Oxnard, courtesy of Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and Guardian Caps. So what say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy?
Deal.
Here we go!
Buttermilk biscuits.
Let's start with DJ Moore. I mean, I do miss that.
Somebody asked for it, so.
DJ Moore and the Bears reached a four-year, $110 million extension that included $82.6 million guaranteed. So congratulations to him. Also, DJ Moore has managed to get the first 10 years of his career guaranteed money. So good for him for navigating that.
Yeah, that is impressive, man.
That feels like a great
goal.
He
had to be stuck in Carolina and Chicago for it, but hey, you know.
Fair. Now, on the money front, Matthew Stafford got an adjustment made to his contract that will now include a $23.5 million guaranteed salary this year, $12.5 million signing bonus, and $4 million guaranteed March roster bonus. So essentially think about it as a one-year $40 million deal.
Okay.
So that's what he's doing, and that pulls away any guarantees from 2025. So if this did end up being the last year for Stafford, it's not going to like really give the finger to your cap.
Man, that is interesting that they're able to get these deals done during camp here. This is wild.
I didn't know you could do
that. It's
happening
like that.
Right?
I'm sure that it's just, you know, over time things happen.
All right. Do you want to?
I also do like that with Stafford, like the agreement on that.
Yeah.
Like you said, it doesn't screw over the team. It helps out the quarterback. It helps out other players. It's good.
And you still get $40 million.
Yeah.
The NFL should stop going to court.
Agreed.
Because they are bad at this. Not only the NFL, the NFLPA also bad at it. So here's what happened. Lloyd Howell is the executive director for the NFL Players Association. And he argued that they should be able to get out of their contract with Panini and go with Fanatics because Panini had lost so many people and they were able to dump the deal because this represented a change in control. And there's a clause in the contract, you know, if there's a change in control, you can move. Well, the court said no. That is not what happened. There was no change in control. So you broke the contract illegally, and now you have to pay Panini $7 million. Now, clearly, this is significantly better than what the NFL got for the Sunday ticket verdict. But still, the NFL and NFLPA, if it's not against John Gruden, they consistently lose.
I'm kind of... That $7 million, whenever you're in this situation, does that mostly go to the lawyer? Does the NFL ever actually pay it is the first question.
I kind of think that Panini has, like, lawyers on retainer.
Okay. Are you just kind of like, you're like, dude, we got extra $7 million in the pocket, or is it actually making up for something you lost? I don't know.
I mean, it's probably both, and also, I mean, we know a lot of people at Panini. Obviously, there's big changes coming to the card industry with Fanatics in the next couple of years. So Panini can hopefully use the money to, I don't know, figure out some other potential business spots for them in the next few years. All right, let's go from that.
NFTs. Am I right?
I mean, they have been in the
Someday, Kevin, your cards are going to be worthless because of all the NFTs.
You ready for the top? It could be. You ready for the top 30 through 21 players in the NFL?
Sure.
Will there be a Cowboy on this part of the list?
Guaranteed.
Oh, let's see. Number 30, Deebo Samuel, followed by Khalil Mack. Good for him for still being that high. He's been in the NFL for a minute. Brock Purdy, Nick Bosa, Mike Evans. Then you get to number 25, Jalen Ramsey, Dexter Lawrence, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Penei
really
Sewell, and A.J. Brown, which means
CeeDee Lamb's above A.J. Brown.
CeeDee Lamb, Micah, and Dak are all in the top 20.
Wow.
Or something has gone shockingly amiss with this rating system.
Yeah, it's interesting to see all those 49ers that low on there.
You think Deebo should be higher?
I mean, maybe even Bosa a little bit higher, but that's he's down, what, four spots from 23 last year?
He's down 23 spots, I believe.
Okay, I was reading that wrong. So that is, yeah, man, I don't know. I feel like maybe... Yeah, I'm very interested to see where they put these Cowboys because Dak does have the national respect also.
Yes.
He does. He finished second in MVP voting last year. And CeeDee Lamb, I think we can all look at and say he's better, nominally better than A.J. Brown.
For sure.
And no Micah is very interesting so far.
That means you'll end up with five Cowboys in the top 100, I would assume. Zach Martin, Jerron Bland, and then it looks like the Cowboys will have three of the top 20 players.
Voted by the players themselves.
Exactly.
So whenever whenever us fans out here start trashing a player, the rest of the league respects them for whatever reason.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I thought it was really cool that Jerron Bland was that high. I have to admit, I know last season was ridiculous for him. I did not think he would get that high. And so when we got to a certain point on the list, I was like, oh, man, did they leave him out of the top 100? That doesn't feel right either. But there he was at 31. All right, let's go from that to running back resurgence.
All right, I like it.
I was debating where I wanted to go next. All right, I was reading this article on Bleacher Report, and they were kind of predicting what the NFL will look like in the next 5 years. And so the top two things clearly go together, and I wanted to see what you thought about this. Point number one, running game resurgence. Point number two, running backs and even fullbacks return to prominence. What do you think about the idea that the running back and fullback will return to prominence and we'll get a running back renaissance?
So the NBA really changed my mind on the game a little bit this year because what the Celtics did to the Mavericks, right?
Okay.
And that is, they were like, no, we can still spread it out and you can't stop us because you have a big that can't quite do some of the things that you know you want him to be able to stay in the paint and protect the paint, but we're going to have to force you to do things. And I think those kinds of things can be cyclical, and sometimes you have the one team that's just the right one. Kevin, with this, I think the running back and fullback might be a cyclical thing, but what might be interesting is to see some guys with new ideas on how to use those, considering the way that some of the other new ideas have been implemented with running quarterbacks and with some of the motion things that are going on and just the way that these route combinations are built. So I think that it is a possibility of that. Now, do the NFL owners look at it and go, they're that valuable, or we can put anybody in that place and it still be the thing? So that's the difference there. I think the running game still has an absolute feature in what the NFL is, especially whenever you start saying, well, if the best way to match up with an opponent is to be lighter and faster, kind of like the Cowboys were last year, and then you saw what happens when a team runs the ball against them.
One of the things that has been amazing to me for the longest time is the fact that the chain system has remained in place in the NFL. We have all of this high-tech technology, and they're like, nah, we still got the chains. That's how you know where the first down is. Well, the NFL took another step away from that today. NFL executive Gary Brantley told the Associated Press that they're going to test Sony's Hawkeye technology during some preseason games. They did point out it probably wouldn't be ready for full implementation until next season, but this could be the last year in the NFL that you see them moving the chains and all of this and that before we move to a more technological-based ball placement system.
So, so instead of having the chains, they're just going to have a dude up there with a bow and arrow shooting down at where the field marker is?
No, not Hawkeye the Avenger.
Dang it.
The Hawkeye... Okay.
How cool would that be, though?
And wouldn't that have been, I don't know, maybe not the first segment, but maybe one of the first two segments is like, hey, Jeremy Renner is now going to be in charge of ball placement for the NFL. Like,
or maybe they're going with the Haley Steinfeld version. Okay. I don't know. Maybe it's
her. Either way.
I'm
still
in favor.
It's a big news story. Either way, if you're like, hey, they're taking an Avenger and pretending like that's real life and moving them in.
If they did something like that, Kevin, that would be they would be going, you know what? We're going full KNC. Where the NFL is like, we're going full. We found out they're a very successful show, very popular. So we're just going to go whatever they suggest we're doing.
I still remember Brandon when he was little. We were talking about home field advantage in baseball and how some of the parks are different. A lot of the parks are different. And what a good home field advantage would be in football. And he goes, I think a pit of quicksand, and you only know where it is if you're the home team.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And so this reminds me of that suggestion.
Yeah, the quarter of the end zone, or the quarter of the 5 yard line. You got that quarter section right there as a pit. I like it.
But no, this is the Sony Hawkeye system, not Hawkeye the Marvel character.
We'll find out.
I'm very confident about this.
Obviously.
You know what? That's fine. If Haley Steinfeld or Jeremy Renner show up in an NFL game and they're like, nope, I got this. Ball goes right here. I will be the first to come on air and be like, I was wrong about that.
From the 972, no way. The NFL's in bed with big chains, so there's no way they're going to be able to do this.
You know,
from the 970, 940, not football without the chains, buddy.
Okay. I'm not making the decision. I'm just telling you, I think it's going to happen. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You know what? Because of that, that is now the first question I want to ask to Dallas Cowboys defensive back coach and assistant head coach Al Harris. Would you be sad if the chains went away? We'll have him next live right here on The Fan.
And Tanner Scott out to the right, snap field, stares down the left side, pass is caught by Moore, down the sidelines, and nothing but green grass, he is gone, baby! Touchdown, DJ Moore on 3rd and 2, and he accentuates what's been a spectacular day.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through The Fan. We're in Oxnard, courtesy of Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and Guardian Caps, so what say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Deal.
Here we go.
Buttermilk biscuits.
Let's start with DJ Moore. I mean, I do miss that.
Somebody asked for it, so.
DJ Moore and the Bears reached a 4-year, $110 million extension that included $82.6 million guaranteed. So congratulations to him. Also, DJ Moore has managed to get the first 10 years of his career guaranteed money. So good for him for navigating that.
Yeah, that is impressive, man.
That feels like a great goal.
He had to be stuck in Carolina and Chicago for it, but hey, you know.
Fair. Now, on the money front, Matthew Stafford got an adjustment made to his contract that will now include a $23.5 million guaranteed salary this year, $12.5 million signing bonus, and $4 million guaranteed March roster bonus. So essentially think about it as a one-year $40 million deal.
Okay.
So that's what he's doing, and that pulls away any guarantees from 2025. So if this did end up being the last year for Stafford, it's not going to like really give the finger to your cap.
Man, that is interesting that they're able to get these deals done during camp here. This is wild.
I know you
that
can
it's
do
happening
that,
like that.
Right?
I'm sure that it's just, you know, over time things happen.
All right. Do you want to?
I also do like that with Stafford, like the agreement on that.
Yeah.
Like you said, it doesn't screw over the team. It helps out the quarterback. It helps out other players. It's good.
And you still get $40 million.
Yeah.
The NFL should stop going to court.
Agreed.
Because they are bad at this. Not only the NFL, the NFLPA also bad at it. So here's what happened. Lloyd Howell is the executive director for the NFL Players Association. And he argued that they should be able to get out of their contract with Panini and go with Fanatics because Panini had lost so many people and they were able to dump the deal because this represented a change in control. And there's a clause in the contract, you know, if there's a change in control, you can move. Well, the court said no. That is not what happened. There was no change in control. So you broke the contract illegally, and now you have to pay Panini $7 million. Now, clearly, this is significantly better than what the NFL got for the Sunday ticket verdict. But still, the NFL and NFLPA, if it's not against John Gruden, they consistently lose.
I'm kind of... That $7 million, whenever you're in this situation, does that mostly go to the lawyer? Does the NFL ever actually pay it is the first question.
I kind of think that Panini has, like, lawyers on retainer.
Okay. Are you just kind of like, you're like, dude, we got extra $7 million in the pocket, or is it actually making up for something you lost? I don't know.
I mean, it's probably both, and also... I mean, we know a lot of people at Panini. Obviously, there's big changes coming to the card industry with Fanatics in the next couple of years. So Panini can hopefully use the money to, I don't know, figure out some other potential business spots for them in the next few years. All right, let's go from that.
NFTs. Am I right?
I mean, they have been in the...
Someday, Kevin, your cards are going to be worthless because of all the NFTs.
You ready for the top... it could be. You ready for the top 30 through 21 players in the NFL?
Sure.
Will there be a Cowboy on this part of the list?
Guaranteed.
Oh, let's see. Number 30, Deebo Samuel, followed by Khalil Mack. Good for him for still being that high. He's been in the NFL for a minute. Brock Purdy, Nick Bosa, Mike Evans. Then you get to number 25, Jalen Ramsey, Dexter Lawrence, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Penei Sewell, and A.J. Brown. Which means...
CeeDee Lamb's above A.J. Brown.
CeeDee Lamb, Micah, and Dak are all in the top 20.
Wow.
Or something has gone shockingly amiss with this rating system.
Yeah, it's interesting to see all those 49ers that low on there.
You think Deebo should be higher?
I mean, maybe even Bosa a little bit higher, but that's he's down, what, four spots from 23 last year?
He's down 23 spots, I believe.
Okay, I was reading that wrong. So that is, yeah, man, I don't know. I feel like maybe... Yeah, I'm very interested to see where they put these Cowboys because Dak does have the national respect also.
Yes.
He does. He finished second in MVP voting last year. And CeeDee Lamb, I think we can all look at and say he's better, nominally better than A.J. Brown.
For sure.
And no Micah is very interesting so far.
That means you'll end up with five Cowboys in the top 100, I would assume. Zach Martin, Deron Bland, and then it looks like the Cowboys will have three of the top 20 players.
Voted by the players themselves.
Exactly.
So whenever whenever us fans out here start trashing a player, the rest of the league respects them for whatever reason.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I thought it was really cool that Deron Bland was that high. I have to admit, I know last season was ridiculous for him. I did not think he would get that high. And so when we got to a certain point on the list, I was like, oh, man, did they leave him out of the top 100? That doesn't feel right either. But there he was at 31. All right, let's go from that to running back resurgence.
All right, I like it.
I was debating where I wanted to go next. All right, I was reading this article on Bleacher Report, and they were kind of predicting what the NFL will look like in the next 5 years. And so the top two things clearly go together, and I wanted to see what you thought about this. Point number one, running game resurgence. Point number two, running backs and even fullbacks return to prominence. What do you think about the idea that the running back and fullback will return to prominence and will get a running back renaissance?
So the NBA really changed my mind on the game a little bit this year because what the Celtics did to the Mavericks, right?
Okay.
And that is, they were like, no, we can still spread it out and you can't stop us because you have a big that can't quite do some of the things that you want him to be able to stay in the paint and protect the paint, but we're going to have to force you to do things. And I think those kinds of things can be cyclical, and sometimes you have the one team that's just the right one. Kevin, with this, I think the running back and fullback might be a cyclical thing, but what might be interesting is to see some guys with new ideas on how to use those, considering the way that some of the other new ideas have been implemented with running quarterbacks and with some of the motion things that are going on, and just the way that these route combinations are built. So I think that it is a possibility of that. Now, do the NFL owners look at it and go, they're that valuable, or we can put anybody in that place and it still be the thing? So that's the difference there. I think the running game still has an absolute feature in what the NFL is, especially whenever you start saying, well, if the best way to match up with an opponent is to be lighter and faster, kind of like the Cowboys were last year, and then you saw what happens when a team runs the ball against them.
One of the things that has been amazing to me for the longest time is the fact that the chain system has remained in place in the NFL. We have all of this high-tech technology, and they're like, nah, we still got the chains. That's how you know where the first down is. Well, the NFL took another step away from that today. NFL executive Gary Brantley told the Associated Press that they're going to test Sony's Hawkeye technology during some preseason games. They did point out it probably wouldn't be ready for full implementation until next season, but this could be the last year in the NFL that you see them moving the chains and all of this and that before we move to a more technological based ball placement system.
So, yeah, so instead of having the chains, they're just going to have a dude up there with a bow and arrow shooting down at where the field marker is?
No, not Hawkeye the Avenger.
Dang it.
The Hawkeye. Okay.
How cool would that be, though?
And wouldn't that have been, I don't know, maybe not the first segment, but maybe one of the first two segments is like, hey, Jeremy Renner is now going to be in charge of ball placement for the NFL. Like,
or maybe they're going with the Haley Steinfeld version.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it's
her. Either way.
I'm in favor.
It's a big news story. Either way, if you're like, hey, they're taking an adventure and pretending like that's real life and moving them in.
If they did something like that, Kevin, that would be they would be going, you know what? We're going full KNC. Where the NFL is like, we're going full. We found out they're a very successful show, very popular. So we're just going to go whatever they suggest we're doing.
I still remember Brandon when he was little. We were talking about home field advantage in baseball and how some of the parks are different. A lot of the parks are different. And what a good home field advantage would be in football. And he goes, I think a pit of quicksand, and you only know where it is if you're the home team.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And so this reminds me of that suggestion.
Yeah, the quarter of the end zone, or the quarter of the 5 yard line. You got that quarter section right there as a pit. I like it.
But no, this is the Sony Hawkeye system, not Hawkeye the Marvel character.
We'll find out.
I'm very confident
about
this.
Obviously.
You know what? That's fine. If Haley Steinfeld or Jeremy Renner show up in an NFL game and they're like, nope, I got this. Ball goes right here. I will be the first to come on air and be like, I was wrong about that.
From the 972, no way. The NFL's in bed with big chains, so there's no way that they're going to be able to do this.
You know,
from the 970, not football without the chains, buddy.
You may. OK, I'm not making the decision. I'm just telling you, I think it's going to happen. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You know what? Because of that, that is now the first question I want to ask to Dallas Cowboys defensive back coach and assistant head coach Al Harris. Would you be sad if the chains went away? We'll have him next live right here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.